you. It's good to be with you again. It's been a while, and we trust that the Lord will give us His presence this morning as we look at the Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for the remembrance of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that it is in Him that we stand accepted in the Beloved, in the grace in which we now stand. Father, we want to pray as we open your word this morning, that your word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, because the entrance of your word gives light. So Father, we want to pray for your blessing, sanctify us through your word. Your word is truth. And so, Father, we pray that as we open the Word of God and look at it, may there be something that will speak to us, apply to us, that it is a word from heaven. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for having us again this morning. My eye is a little bit blurry, but I forgot my glasses. But if you... You don't have those $1 glasses anymore, do you, Harold?
Yeah.
It might be too strong.
Okay, all right.
If they work, you make it cost a dollar.
I'll try not to break it. this is perfect. Yes. next time you buy a dozen, buy one for me too. I would like us this morning to... Harold started the meeting this morning in reading from Thessalonians. The Christians in Thessalonica, how they turned to God from idols, to serve the living God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. And so the three main things that were taught to us this morning was that we all turn, repented of our sins, made a 180 degree turn, and we look towards the Lord. And what do we do then? We serve. And as we serve, we have one goal, and that is we wait for His Son from heaven. We have a faith that is looking forward. We have a faith that doesn't come to an end when this race is over on earth. That this in the Bible hour, we will talk about the race that we are in. But this morning, as I was thinking that when we are serving, now that we have turned, and now that we are in this phase of serving, and that we are going to go, we are going to look for the Son in heaven, the Lord Jesus appearing, what are some of the things that will help us along the way as we serve, as we wait? What is it that will help us, those principles, those abiding principles that serves us well as believers, whether we are young or whether we are old? There are many people that have made pillars and set pillars and foundations in their lives so that they will walk as they serve, as they walk, worthy of the Lord Jesus as they wait for Him to come from heaven. They have set some pillars. And one of my good friend, Jim Satt, some of you may know him, he has this, says KL, my name is KL, or Kok Leong Yip, KL. He wouldn't call me Kevin. He called me KL, and he says, KL, you know, and he's a very successful businessman, chairman of his company, is retired now, but when he's in his very active years in business, he says this, I have made this pillar in my life. He said, every time when I go out on a conference or when I travel for a business meeting or wherever I may be, he says, I always make sure when it comes to Sunday, I will be at my seat.
Amen.
At the Lord's Supper. He will always make sure that he will come back, whether it's from Arizona, whether it's from Toronto, wherever, I will make sure that I'll be back by Sunday at my seat. Some of these pillars in our lives. And this morning, I want us to look at a principle that I've learned as a younger Christian, and I think this principle has helped me in many ways in my Christian walk. And I'd like you to turn with me to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2. First Samuel chapter 2. This is where we will start reading. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says of your father. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And this is the principle. If we get nothing else this morning from what I'm saying, perhaps this is the one thing we pray that you will take with you. The principle is this: them that honor me, I will honor, says the Lord. Them that honor me, I will honor. And what is the context in which the Lord said this? Who was the Lord saying this to? The Lord had told a prophet to come to the priest. The Lord had sent a prophet to come to the priest. And this prophet is going to tell Eli, this message. And this message is that them that honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. See, in the opening chapters of Samuel, 1 Samuel, there are two main characters in the first two chapters. Two main characters. The first character is, who do you think it is? Hannah. Let's read that. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Verse 11, chapter 1. Then Hannah made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So this is a vow, this is a promise that Hannah came in prayer before the Lord. Hannah had no children. Her husband has two wives. Elkanah had two wives. And the first wife have children. And the second wife, and Hannah doesn't have children. and the other wife has children. And because of that, Hannah felt very bad. And to add to that, the other wife would taunt, "Hey, you have no children." And at that time, it was not a very nice thing. It was not seen as a blessing without a child from God. And so their children too would come and taunt Hannah. Wasn't a nice thing. So Hannah, in her grief, she didn't come to counseling or whatever. She went straight to the Lord. And she told the Lord, "This is my grief. I have no children. But if you give me a child, Lord, I will give him back to you. I will give him back to you." This is his vow, her vow, her promise to the Lord. And so now we turn to verse 24. And the story goes, the Lord answered Hannah's prayers, saw her grief, answered Hannah's prayers. And in verse 24, we read this. Now when she had weaned him, and she gave birth to a child, to a son, and this son is, his name is Samuel. We all know that, Samuel. And so in verse 24, it says, now when she had weaned Samuel, that means Samuel is old enough, she doesn't take milk from the mother anymore, she's old enough to walk and to do his own little thing. Now when she had weaned Samuel, she took him with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and the skin of wine, bring him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli, the priest. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I also have granted him, or lent him, or granted him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent or granted to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. And so we see here the story of the first principle, the principles that we are talking about being played out. And so we want to go and continue and read verse 21. What happens after this? But before that, we think about Hannah. Here is a woman who has no child, and she has prayed for him and cried many tears for this child. And she has been given a child, Samuel, and she nursed him. He suckled from her breast. And he was still very young. We will hear. In verse 24 at the end of it, and the child was young. But what did Hannah do? Hannah fulfilled her vow, promised a child if it was given to her, and that's exactly what she did. She kept her promise. So what do we have? What is the end of the story here for Hannah? It's verse 21 of chapter 2. Verse 20, perhaps, verse 20. And Eli would bless Elkanah and the wife and says, "The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the child." Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. You see the principle there? Them that honor me, I will honor. And so, you see Hannah, having no child, prayed for a child very much, taunted, and people, the other wife of Hannah, of her husband, making shame of her, the children taunting her, people in town, maybe you, a barren woman. And now she finally, God answers her prayer and she has a child. What did she do with the child? She gave back to the Lord as she promised. Can you imagine the heartache? You got no child. And finally, all these years, all these tears, and you have a child. You have a son. And he just finished suckling from your breast. And he's just old enough to walk and still young. And now you fulfill your promise to the Lord. It must have torn her heart. It must have cost her dearly, deeply. But she kept her promise. Them that honor me, I will honor. And what's the result of that? The result of that is this by the Lord. The Lord says, you will have many descendants. The end of that is that Hannah conceived and bore three more sons and two more daughters. From having no children, she looked to the Lord, she had faith in the Lord, and she had a child. This child, instead of saying, now, I finally have him. I'm going to keep him. But she remembered, all this is the Lord's doing. And she would give it back. Them that honor me, I will honor. The Lord is no man's debtor. You know, I think of this, that sometimes in our society today, as I look at some of the believers around us, in the churches, in my own assembly, young people are growing up and they have to make decisions. Sometimes the decision is to get into a particular kind of work, but you know, maybe it pays a little bit more, but it will require you to work on Sunday. It will require you to work on, maybe you have been coming for the Wednesday night and enjoying it, but it will cost you your Wednesday nights. And you have been growing so much here in the church and being such a great help, and the Lord has blessing you, and then the company says, we need you to be our branch manager in Timbuktu. Can you go to Timbuktu? And those are some of the decisions that believers will have to make. But remember this. What does it say? What is the principle? Let me hear it from you. Them? Them that honor me, I will honor. As we allow the Lord, and the word honor means to give consideration. If the king came in here, we have a king. We will give honor to him. We will give consideration to him of his position and his priority, and we will give him the best seat. Here again, in this first two chapters, is a contrasting example. We have an example of a Hannah who did well by honoring the Lord. We have another example, you didn't think it would come from him, from a thief, from the priest. From the priest that Hannah went to and gave his son to. And this is the example that he had. And this was what the Lord said to Samuel, to the prophet, to tell Eli. Why did God have to tell Eli through the prophet what God had to tell him? God told him that, I told your fathers, your household will be household of priests, and you will be blessed serving me. But God says in chapter 30, no more. No more. But now the Lord says, for far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Why did this come about? This came about, read here in chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. What happened? Why did the Lord have to be doing this to Eli? It says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's customs with the people was that when one man offered a sacrifice, the priest would come. Basically, Eli had two sons. And these two sons were corrupt. And each time when someone brings sacrifices of meat to worship the Lord, guess what? Eli's two sons would take the best for themselves. And whatever came before the Lord, they looked at it, they knew not the Lord, and they would take it for themselves first. And the rest they gave. And not only that, when the women came to the temple to pray, what an abomination. These two sons of Eli, helping out as priests, perhaps, phony priests, fake priests, they would sleep with the women. Instead of being pure and sanctified and holy priests, they would defile the place of God. And so what happened? Eli did try to do something. This is what Eli tried to do. In verse 24 of chapter 2, he says, no, my son, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress or sin. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. Eli tried very much to talk to his sons. Was that enough? What actually happened? Verse 29. This is a message from the prophet to Eli. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings, Eli, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? Eli had honored his sons more than the Lord. Now go to chapter 3 and verse 10. No, sorry. Chapter 3. And verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. I have told Eli, God said, I have told Eli that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. So Eli tried to talk to his sons, but he didn't go far enough. He was the priest. He could have disciplined them, but he did not. And so is there a couple of lessons that we can learn from this? The lesson would be this. Eli did what was convenient and what was easiest. Well, you know what? I don't want to be fighting with my son. You know, that's all right. You know, it's... And what was easiest to him? It was not convenient to confront and to fight with his son and to tell you, step down. This is not right in the sight of the Lord. Eli did what was convenient. What it was easy to do, I'll do it. That was it. And I ask myself sometimes, is my faith a convenient faith? If I have time, I'll do it. If I don't have time, well, maybe I'll have to take second place. If I can, if I'm not going for this other thing that I have on my mind, then I'll come for to help. And some many times we allow our faith to be when it is convenient. That's not honoring the Lord. The other second example that we can learn from this is Eli allowed the legitimate things in his life to overshadow the place of the Lord, to put the Lord in second place. What was legitimate? It's legitimate to love your family. It's legitimate to love your sons. It's legitimate to go to work. It's legitimate to find a good job and have a good salary to feed the children. It's legitimate to so many things are legitimate. It is legitimate for Eli to keep a good relationship with his son and have a happy family life. However, only that the legitimacy have put their sons, Eli's son, valued his son more than the Lord. Eli honored his son more than the Lord. And as a result, the Lord says, I will lightly esteem you. Them that honor me, I will honor. Them that honor me, I will honor. I think that's something that if we can take away this morning, as we make our decisions in life as a Christian, whether we are a younger Christian or an older Christian, at whichever part of whichever season in life or station in life we are in, we are always having to make decisions, decisions in terms of our resources, decisions in terms of our time, decisions in terms of who we are supposed to marry. Should I marry a Christian or should I be unequally yoked and marry a non-Christian? Should I take on this job that is going to take me away from the meetings? Shall I just go to this school that is far away, but I'll be independent, alone, but then there will be no one else to help me out in my Christian walk. So many decisions in life. And I think one of the good guiding principle would be this: them that honor me, I will honor. May the Lord bless us. Father, we want to pray as we come before you and thank you, Lord, for this, that it may not be something that we will only know as a theory, them that honor me, I will honor, but Lord, that it will be truly something that will be worked out and practiced in our lives with joy. When we have joy in serving you and loving you, Lord, we know that this is not going to be difficult. So we pray, Lord, for your blessing and for your guidance in all our lives. We thank you for the Heavenly Father that you are, who wants the best for us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.